This is a Hipsters of the Coast podcast. This Doom Travelers podcast is brought to you by Hipsters of the Coast, your destination for magic news, strategy, and entertainment. And by Cast Haven, where you can build your magic collection like a pro. Visit casthaven.com for more information.
Hi, welcome to episode 7 of Doom Travelers, the weekly podcast where we talk about magic while playing Destiny. Our topic for this episode is the end of the PTQ system as we know it. The final PTQs will be held over the next weekend, and we are going to send them off properly. Joined tonight with a few other guardians, starting to my left, Dave McNasty McCoy. We'll start with you, Dave. What are you going to miss most about PTQs?
I'm really going to miss the seasons, the delineation between 3 months of Modern, 3 months of Standard, 3 months of Sealed. And just the practice and preparation and depth of format exploration that you get with, or that we had with the old PPT, the old PTQ system, and that we aren't going to get with the new PPTQ season.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird calling it the old PTQ system. But it'd be weird to call it the legacy PTQ system because that'd be confusing.
That laugh wasn't real.
Matt, where are you? Well, running away from me is Matt the Obliterator Jones. Matt, what are you going to miss most about PTQs?
You know, not much. I'm so excited that you get to say PP a lot more now than you used to be able to say, that it's really hard to complain, you know?
From the Beavis and Butthead School of Magic Tournaments. last but not least is Rob Proposal Culpits. Rob, you are not a magic grinder. Have you ever played on a PTQ?
Nope.
So let me ask you a different question. If there was a competitive Destiny match, would you prefer one huge free-for-all with like 50 guardians, or a bunch of small free-for-alls that fed into another free-for-all with like 10 guardians each?
The 50 guardian one, man. I'm ground war. I want a ground war with like 100 versus 100.
Yeah, that's what most people want. So Rob, who has no idea, just voted for the legacy PTQ system without even knowing it. So
guys, hold on a second. Can I change it? I was just kidding about the PP thing. I do like saying PP a lot, but I prefer, I also just got to say but, I prefer the legacy PTQ thing because I really like taking big van trips with my buddies all across the tri-state area to go to these mini GPs that PTQs used to be.
Yeah, I think that's a mini GP is a great description for what the PTQs were starting to become. Well into the triple digits of players. Unfortunately, PTQs, of course, were one-day affairs, and I think ultimately that was what caused their downfall to an extent, was the fact that these events were starting early in the morning, ending well into the wee hours of the night, and were becoming quite a burden for stores to organize.
Why didn't they just cap them? And say, like, you can have 200 at the most or 150 at the most.
That's a great question. I think they had made a conscious decision that they didn't want to have to turn people away, which is kind
but
of strange.
But they have to now on PPTQs.
Yeah, exactly. But there's more PPTQs. That's for sure.
Robert, you can't laugh every time we say PP, right?
Yeah, it's attendance was definitely one of the big driving forces. I'll never forget the first time I went to a 100-player tournament, and it was just crazy, the idea that this was going to be a 7 or 8 round Magic tournament with a cut to the top eight. But that's kind of what made it exciting, right? The endurance trial aspect of it. And I honestly think that a lot of the recent trends in Magic players talking about improving their health, for example, comes from the fact that PTQs were such an endurance trial that if you were not taking care of yourself physically and mentally, you really had no shot at lasting 9 rounds
in a tournament. I hadn't even thought about that. We won't have to read very many of those articles anymore. That's pretty good.
I think you'll still get them.
After the 6th or 7th one, you're like, I get it. I should eat like people eat when they want to take care of themselves, and I should get regular amounts of sleep. I get it.
That's true.
Magic players aren't exempt from healthy lifestyles if they want to be healthy and feel good. Also, this is the best map. I don't know if you know about this map, but it's by far the best one.
I'm really excited that we get to start on this map. We often get to start on this map. I think it's just because we have you with us, Matt, and you're using your latent psychic powers to bring us here.
My ketchup providing powers.
So anyways, PTQs, the classic PTQs, they're going away. I believe this is the last weekend. Matt, you're going to Philadelphia, yeah? To play in the...
Yeah, I already have my bus ticket. And I think I'm going to play Abzan Aggro. And I don't even think anybody's going with me. I think I'm going solo.
Oh, man.
Which is sort of sad. There's 20 sided has a PPTQ, and I think a lot of people are going to that. And Abe Lusk will be there, but he's going down ahead of time with some group of younger people. And James Chang will already be there. So, just me and a book on the way to PTQ.
Those trips to Philly are probably one of the biggest losses in this transition to PPTQs.
PP.
Just the trips, the bus trips with a bunch of guys from 20 sided. And the Reading Terminal Market and a nice convention center didn't make you feel like you were in an airport hangar. Man, Philly, I'm really going to
miss the best
Philly PTQ trip.
Totally. Dave, do you want me to bring you back a sandwich?
I mean, sure, I'm not going to say no to Denix, man.
It'd be so disgusting. That would be just a pile of mush.
I mean, it's Denix mush, neutralized. Though.
It's true. You could eat it like soup.
Yeah, I think the tournament venues have always kind of been hit or miss, though, with the old PTQ system, right? And the attendance issues are what led into that. So you had some tournament organizers were able to secure fantastic venues like the Philly Convention Center, while other tournament organizers, we'll just refer to one completely anonymously as Schming's Games. Would just have completely unacceptable venues in order to try to accommodate. And I honestly think, and Matt, you may not want to hear this, but I honestly think that you're partially responsible for this.
I think it's true.
Because what happened with King's Games, and for those of you listening who don't know, King's Games is a store in Brooklyn, which started out with the best of intentions, but in order to accommodate the triple digit attendance for a PTQ, they expanded their seating into their basement. And I use basement here in the loosest
dungeon.
Yeah, in the loosest of terms. It really was some kind of medieval torture chamber for Magic players. When they first opened it, it couldn't seat enough people, and the last PTQ I ever played at King's Games, I played round one at the McDonald's down the block.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard about that too.
So Matt wrote a great article some time ago about the issues with King's Games, and Helene Bergeau and Wizards in general were very responsive to it. And this was a trend that was not just happening at King's Games. This was happening all over the world, where tournament organizers were struggling to meet the demands of the growth of the PTQ scene, and so the venues left quite a bit to be desired. So Wizards really felt that they had to address the attendance issues.
But also, Rich, they it used to be handled by not stores, but by things like Gray Matter that were maybe better at organizing events. And then they gave the power over the stores, right?
Yeah.
And then when the stores
That's a great point.
The increase happened, and then the stores couldn't handle the increase.
That's a great point. There was definitely organizers like Gray Matter and Pastimes Events and out in the Midwest and Cascade Games. Basically these folks who now organize Grand Prix, they were also organizing PTQ tournaments. But that is no longer the case. It's now the brick and mortar stores that are responsible for organizing everything, really. So brick and mortar stores generally don't have access. I think Luis tried once, right? Luis tried
twice.
One time, twice. To
did
run.
One at Warsaw, which is a rock
oh right, I remember. I remember the Warsaw.
Greenpoint, that one was pretty good, but there weren't that many people, so it was like not cost effective.
Yes.
And then he did one at the craft pottery place across the street, and that also wasn't very. It was just too many people, so it was the opposite one that he had.
Yeah, and I know Montesi ran one once at the Pennsylvania Hotel.
Ran two
at the Pennsylvania
Hotel.
They
both went pretty well.
But apparently they lost a bunch of money, too.
Yeah.
But they lost a bunch of money.
Yeah, obviously we have a bit of a unique situation being in New York City, but I'd imagine tournament organizers, a.k.a. brick-and-mortar stores all over the country must have been having issues, and Wizards clearly had to do something about the attendance problems. So Wizards kind of laid their own bed here by taking away the ability for large tournament organizers like Gray Matter Events to run these tournaments, but then the stores that they gave the responsibility to could no longer handle the burden of having so many players in a single tournament. So everyone's at fault for where we ended up, which was that PTQs were simply too big. So they're going away, but they're not. The experience isn't necessarily going away because the idea of the mini Grand Prix is something that's really being embraced now by Star City Games. And the Star City Games Open Series is now a two-day affair, and it's really maybe what the PTQs could have been if they had still been run by large tournament organizers like Gray Matter Events. Of course, Star City is a pretty large tournament organizer. Do you guys think that, Dave, do you think that PTQs could have been two-day affairs?
Yeah, I don't think that's with outside of the realm of possibility. I mean, they were getting there. I mean, you say you can't forget the day that you went to a PTQ with 100 people at it. I can't remember the last time I went to a PTQ. It wasn't on a holiday weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. It was under 150 people. There were always 8 or 9 rounds, and that is just impossible to sit through. It's basically a GP day one.
Yeah,
they should have split them into two PTQs like they're doing with GP Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. You could have split those tournaments into two PTQs just
right.
co-located. But I'm not sure. The thing is, making it a two-day tournament makes it a logistical problem for people
right.
who know that they're probably not going to make that day two. You're going to have to get more than just 150 or 200 people to justify the day two. And I think one thing that this shift to PPTQs and the regional PTQs is doing is it's establishing the logistics of a two-tiered system. So you go to one smaller tournament that hopefully is 6 rounds, maximum 7. And then if you win that one, you get to travel to what I think they've called, I think they've actually said that they want the regional PTQs to be like mini GPs, with 2 days and events on both days. even side events and that kind of stuff if you scrub out. Yeah, they've said they want to make these like celebrations, magic celebrations. Yeah. So, you know, they seem like they're trying to move in that direction. And rather than just turning the old PTQ system into a two-day system, they seem to have decided to concentrate these mini GPs. So instead of making every PTQ a mini GP, reduce the number of PTQs and make those mini GPs, and then just increase the number of the qualifying tournaments to get to the mini GPs.
Don't they also want to keep Pro Tour attendance lower, or like maintain control of the amount of people?
They want to keep the Pro Tour, from what I've heard, around 300 people. Like they think it's a little too big right now.
Yeah, so Pro Tour Fate Reforged was 407 players.
That's too many people.
And about half of that were qualifiers from PTQs. About 200 players come in from the PTQ system. And in the future, that number is going to go down significantly for the RPTQs. Which we won't get to that until I think the first Pro Tour that's going to be fed from RPTQs is going to be Vancouver, which is I believe it's the Pro Tour for Blood.
I think that's July.
Bravo team.
No, that's how Vancouver was in the summer.
It's either Vancouver or Milwaukee.
Capture and defend.
Maybe it's Milwaukee. Whatever it is, I believe
it's.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
Could you imagine being lucky enough to spend your Pro Tour in Milwaukee? So beautiful.
I was shocked when that announcement came that there was going to be a Pro Tour in Milwaukee.
Guys, play the game, travel the world, travel to Milwaukee.
Yeah, we can have a whole nother podcast one day on the play the game, see the world.
Lost the lead. You captured zone B.
But it's the attendance all over the place, and obviously, the game is growing constantly, right? So attendance is going to start to become an issue, and Wizards clearly understands that it's their responsibility to handle attendance growth in a reasonable manner, and making the Pro Tour more exclusive. I think is a great idea, but there needs to be improved support at the amateur level then, through events like the Star City Open Series and events, other amateur circuits like the Stars, TCG Players events, and also this stuff needs to really start expanding out to Europe. As well.
You have total control.
So I think it's the logistics of these tournaments is the real problem, it's the real challenge that Wizards is trying to address. Logistically, it became too much of a burden for small stores to run large PTQs. So the question is, logistically, can they run these smaller PPTQs? And I think that's a question that we're still going to see whether or not it gets answered. The first season of PPTQs is wrapping up this weekend as well. There won't be any changes for the second season, which is a bit surprising. I think they're waiting for the first round of RPTQs to run their course before they make any decisions on changes.
Which is smart.
Yeah, it is. There's already been concerns that I've raised and that other people have raised over the attendance of RPTQs, but it'll be very interesting to see whether or not that changes.
I think the concerns about attendance are going to be well founded. We'll have to see. But I mean, the most immediately obvious, I would call it a problem. Some people might not call it a problem, but is the format distribution of these PPTQs.
Oh, sure.
The vast majority, almost 65% of these PPTQs in the second season are going to be standard tournaments. And this is a sealed RPTQ that it's feeding into. And 65% of the PPTQs are standard. Only about 19% are going to be sealed, and about another 19% are going to be modern. And I think that's really not where it should be. Like, for a sealed tournament, you should have at least a majority of feeder tournaments be sealed. I mean, you got to feel for these limited guys, right? Because, like, this is their once a year tournament RPTQ now. You only get one, and
Zone B.
And the tournaments that they are gonna have to play and to qualify for it aren't really. There aren't gonna be a lot of limited ones. They're gonna have to play standard. They're gonna have to play modern. Like,
right.
75-85% of these tournaments are going to be constructed events, and they're feeding into the only limited RPTQ of the year. And I know why.
Is there only one limited? Is there only one limited RPTQ?
Enemy captured zone B.
Yeah. So they're gonna have a modern one, a standard one, a limited one, and I assume, based on the things that I've read, that it's good. That the fourth one is going to be standard again.
That makes sense.
You know, like, they're not doing block anymore. It's probably going to be standard.
You captured zone B.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why Wizards wants to push standard, right? It's the moneymaker for the local stores, which is fine. It probably draws the biggest crowds.
Right.
Like, I only got to do a couple standard PTQ seasons, but those were by far the most popular. You know, they drew the biggest crowds.
Yeah.
Zone A neutralized.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that they're just not supporting a sealed RPTQ with at least a majority of sealed PPTQ.
I think the formats, and you mentioned at the top of the podcast about seasons, and how the formats define the season and vice versa. And I think there is definitely something special about that relationship that we're going to that's going to go away.
I feel like, aside from them trying to eliminate modern as a pro tour format, I feel like the elimination of a real modern season might be the death knell, or maybe not the death knell, but one of
right. But modern aside, I think the loss of more limited events is more concerning than the loss of modern as a PTQ format. The Pro Tour is almost is 40% limited, right? Because you play 10 rounds and
6 rounds out of 16.
So no, 6 rounds out of 16. Yeah, so it's a significant. It's definitely a much more significant portion compared to the proportion of sealed PPTQ events. And that's quite unfortunate, because limited players aren't going to be given as much of an opportunity to make it to the Pro Tour then. But again, you know, as the game grows, Wizards is going to just have to deal with the growing pains. I think they've made the right first step to get rid of the massive PTQs, just because logistically they either they had to get rid of them, or they had to bring back the independent tournament organizers. And I think it was clear that they wanted the stores to take the reins on running tournaments. They don't want independent tournament organizers to... they might not even want the independent tournament organizers to exist at all.
It seems like they don't want them to exist at all.
Which is fine, because independent tournament organizers don't sell cards. Stores do. So that makes perfect sense.
God, I hate capitalism so much.
So, you know, it's just a growing pain of the game. And I think over the next few years, I hope we really see more evolution in the tournament system, with more growth in the amateur tournament space, with things like the Star City Open and other tournament series. But speaking of the growth of the games, since we only have a few minutes left in our Crucible match here, I'm gonna, you know, we said goodbye. PTQs are gone. The future is here. But as the game grows, of course, you have to think about capitalism, unfortunately. And this past week, Hasbro published the pinnacle of capitalism, which was their quarterly fiscal report, and which was also the end-of-year report. To sum things up, things were pretty positive for Magic. They reported a lot of growth in Magic the Gathering across the board. More players, more events, more money coming in, more digital support. But Hasbro as a company had a bit of a loss. I think the big thing and the one thing I want to get your opinions on is they've said they're going to invest more in the online products. Whether that means Magic Online or Digital Planeswalkers, there's going to be a bigger investment made to try to get people playing digital Magic. So, Matt, you play Magic Online out of necessity, I believe. Do you believe that Hasbro is actually going to make an investment into digital Magic, and do you think that that's going to show up in Magic Online?
No, I think that they strategically use their... They don't say Magic the Gathering Online very purposefully when they describe the digital money. So, the money that they're putting into their digital.
So do you think they're talking about Duels of the Planeswalkers or something else entirely?
I think they're talking about doing dumb shit, like putting a fresh coat of paint on it, but not reworking Modo.
Yeah.
I think they probably mean Duel of the Planeswalkers. But I mean, I also think that companies just say bullshit to make people happy, and then people grumble about it, and then they'll say some more bullshit, and they'll keep spending their money. And, you know, I don't have any faith in Wizards of the Coast or Hasbro's ability to make Magic Online not a total piece of garbage. I just saw Todd Anderson, who relentlessly plays Modo, just quit. And I think that's crazy when a guy who has to write about Magic stops playing the digital version of it because it's so frustrating.
Do you think maybe people start streaming Duels of the Planeswalkers?
I think maybe people will keep streaming Hearthstone. I subscribed to Kibler's Twitch channel, like gave him money because I like watching him play his decks, and then I unsubscribed because he hasn't played Magic in fucking 10,000 years. I don't know shit about Hearthstone, and I don't want to watch him play non-Magic games. It's just like, what's the point? He has no interest at all. If he used to stream Destiny, I'd watch that, but he doesn't stream games that are ugly.
I think, if I recall right now, at this moment, I haven't tuned in, but at this moment, Paul Cheon is streaming Magic Online for 24 hours straight, so it'll be interesting to see.
His computer will probably explode.
Yeah, exactly. Dave, what about you? You think there's any hope for Magic Online, given Hasbro's claim that they're going to invest money in digital Magic?
I mean, I think Matt's absolutely right.
Yeah.
They don't use Magic the Gathering Online intentionally because they probably aren't investing very heavily in it.
You streamed tonight, didn't you, Dave?
I hung out with Dan and Kadar and Gabe and the other guys.
But you were playing Modo, right?
Poorly. Yeah, it was miserable. But I mean, it was Magic.
Well, that's the thing. You can have this like shitty experience because of this shitty interface, but at the end of the day, it's still Magic the Gathering, which is this fantastic game. So it's terrible. Like they're giving you really shitty crack, but it's crack, you know.
it's very true. It's a terrible product. We all know. I mean, we're preaching to the choir here. If you're listening to this podcast. But Magic Online is a terrible product, but the game is so good that people come back for more. You know, addiction is a strong thing, but people want to play Magic. They want to play it a lot. And if Magic Online is the only option they have to play competitive Magic in a digital format, then that's what people are going to do. and Hasbro.
You know, and I'm a drug addict, alcoholic. I understand addiction recovery. You need to hit a bottom, and Magic Online has not hit a bottom yet. It's still, you know, it's all the players keep sustaining this thing that's a piece of shit. They're just enabling Wizards to make a terrible, terrible, terrible product because it's all they have. That's all the players have to play this game. And until, like, there should be a fucking protest where everybody just stops. We all just stop. So it's how amazing would that be? I mean, it's never going to happen. Crack addicts don't just stop, but not all together.
It'll be a very interesting day if the Magic community does finally, take up Todd Anderson's banner and just start quitting Magic Online in droves. And especially if they start leaving for things like Hearthstone, which I enjoy Hearthstone. I enjoy playing it. I enjoy watching Brian Kibler talk about Hearthstone, but I don't write about it. We're not podcasting about it because Magic is a superior game, but it's going to get to a point where it just no longer makes sense to play Magic Online. And at that point,
I wonder if we could organize a one-day strike where we all just stop playing for a day, or like a significant portion of people, you know, so they had to address the problem, like we were making it very obvious.
Well, we'll see what we can do, and that can be a topic for another podcast.
Yeah, I'm really stoked on it now. I kind of want to.
Alright, well, we will leave that here. As we finish up this round in the Crucible, we won two rounds. That was nice.
We crushed.
We are crushing this round too, but the rest of you aren't going to get to see it.
I predict victory.
So I can focus on this. How do I turn the stream off so I can focus on this Crucible match?
Come on, share it together.
Share button.
Guardians, thanks for tuning in to the Doom Travelers podcast, where we discuss Magic the Gathering while playing Destiny. You can find more at doomtravelers.com or visit hipstersofthecoast.com for additional Magic content. Thanks to Robert Kolpitz for joining us in the Crucible this week. And remember, playing Destiny is so much more fun than playing Modo. Come join us. You can thank me later. For my co-hosts Rich Stein and Matt the Obliterator Jones, I'm David Bones McCoy. See you next time.